Wake up, gamers, because you're listening to Big Think Dimension with KZ Excellent.
I'm optimistic about things.
Dan and Bob Video Games.
You see that mountain? You can fuck another man on that mountain.
And Mr. Feel.
I am no longer asking.
Here on Gigaboots.
Okay, everyone. I know this is a bit of a meme with Big Think Dimension, but we're starting this by talking about Taco Bell. But we have a change of pace. See, we're using our facilities of posting an image in the podcast to get you guys tested. I want to see if any of you can tell. These are two different items on Taco Bell's menu. Okay? Two different items. One of them is a quesadilla wrap or a quesadilla melt. The other one is a loaded potato griller. Which one is which?
Oh, no!
Neither are made right.
My prediction is the top one is the potato griller.
Okay, Phil, what's your vote?
Common sense would indicate that the top one is the quesadilla and the bottom one is the potato, so I'm going to say the opposite because you wouldn't ask otherwise.
That is exactly right. This top thing you're seeing is supposed to be a cylinder. It's supposed to be a tube-shaped griller, as they call them. So
it's like an inflatable, but you stuck a needle in it, so it
Yes, unfortunately, my loaded griller deflated. So it was actually a bit of a weird nightmare trying to figure out whose food was whose just because these two items looked identical. Because Toshibob also ordered the same item for their other item. So we sat there and we're like, we have two sets of objects that look identical. One of these should be an entirely different thing from the rest. Why? What the fuck is going on? What I'm trying to say is they're doing a bang-up job at the local Taco Bell.
As usual.
I'm very excited, though. I got some important news. Very important. Very crucial news.
Oh.
Starting this Monday, our Wendy's will be serving breakfast.
Ooh.
And I'm very glad I'm going to be there day one to check out the breakfast menu at the Wendy's.
Finally, we I have can't. More material for this podcast.
Now you got to come back here and live stream it.
I figured I'm probably going to live tweet it because I'm going to bring someone with me.
Okay.
Maybe do some videos while we prod the food.
A video of you in their drive-thru telling people to leave and get a life.
What am I, Alex from Street Fighter? I'm just a bully. Eat somewhere else, loser. And then I tear my shirt off.
Man, how crowded that place going to be?
I don't know. I don't know if anyone's read the sign or cares. Because breakfast at fast food places, aside from Whataburger, is not very popular. Unfortunately, in my huge crunch to get an armchair devs pitch done, I was up until Whataburger breakfast normal hours, and that was hell.
I don't know, man. I see a ton of people going for McDonald's and for Hardee's breakfast. Like, those two are popular. I don't know about the rest.
I think McDonald's...
I wish there was a Hardee's over here.
I wish there was an Arby's near
us. We had
us.
A Hardee's here, and it went out of business.
Well, yeah, over there, it's supposed to be Carl's Jr., isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was a Carl. It was
oh,
a Carl
okay,
Jr.
Okay. Yeah.
It closed in 6 months, and I went there once, and nobody was working. And they tried to ignore me when I tried to order. And then 6 months later, it was closed.
Was that Hardee's in a mall? Like, that sounds like some
no,
bullshit.
No, it was in a big, like, $500,000 building they constructed new.
Jesus. Wow. See, when you said it was a Hardee's at first, I was like, was this just some renegade Hardee's setting up in Carl's Jr. territory? They shut down because the Carl's Jr. triumvirate showed up and they're like, you're on the wrong side of the country, boy. But no, apparently it's just unsuccessful. How the fuck do you run an unsuccessful Hardee's? How do you do that? They have the Frisco burger.
I mean, we had two of them in Niceville close.
Oh, you're right.
So but, it's not too uncommon.
But we have plenty around here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we've got at least three that I can think of. Like, there are two in Fort Walton. But that's not the point. The point is, I wish an Arby's was closer. But I will tolerate at least having one more breakfast option in fast food. Current reigning champ.
Yeah.
Is either McDonald's or Taco Bell. Just depends on what you're in the mood for. How egg do you want your egg? Bob, do you have a preference for breakfast fast food? Anything?
I mean, I only really eat the Whataburger one. I want to eat the Hardee's one because I remember that one being amazing.
It is amazing.
But I haven't been able to get out there that time of hour.
Tosh and I actually went there after filming the beach for last year's Patreon bumper. Remember when we had the beach?
Yeah.
Like at dawn?
Yeah, it was a good time.
It was very pretty. And it played some music from Outrun. Tosh and I did that shoot on the beach and then went and ate a breakfast at Hardee's. And yeah, no, their breakfast is still fucking stellar. They're just nowhere near us.
Right. I'm like, if I remember right, they're way better than anything else.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right. I'm trying to think. Like Whataburger's pretty solid.
The Jack in the Box in my area.
Ah, man.
Decent breakfast.
We don't have any of those.
No.
We don't have one. Yeah, and they keep
the closest
showing
thing
me
you have Burger King, because they also have the croissant sandwich.
So, you know that picture I posted to Taco Bell? Imagine that was a croissant and a biscuit sandwich, and you couldn't tell which one was which. That's how sad our Burger King is.
That is really sad.
The Burger King, the only thing worth ordering from their lunch menu or breakfast menu around here is the French toast sticks.
Oh, yeah, the French toast sticks are still really good. But you made that joke about the deflated loaded potato griller.
Yes.
The croissant sandwich is deflated. I'm not even kidding.
It's like
it's perfectly flat. It has no strength in it at all. It's moist. It's so
it's like Wayne Knight's character during Space Jam when he gets deflated.
Yeah, yeah, it's borderline body horror. Correct.
Yeah. So here's a benefit of living in the Southwest is we have 15 different breakfast burrito places.
Ah! Pretty epic.
I love breakfast burritos.
So I go to the it's called Burrito Express. It's in a tiny hole in the wall, in the bottom floor of an office building. It's called the Petroleum Building because petroleum companies used to have their offices there. And I get two egg, bacon, cheese, potato, and green chili breakfast burritos for $4.
It's pretty good.
I'm pretty fucking jealous.
Sonic's breakfast burritos are surprisingly good.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I prefer that to anything else on the menu.
Huh.
My Sonic can now deliver, and I feel like that is an affront against God.
You want to die? You want me to bring you ocean water?
Just the idea of like, yes, we'll have someone sit in the drive-thru you're supposed to be in and then get the food for you.
I like how Dan referenced ocean water when that's actually delicious.
Yeah, ocean water is dangerously delicious. It's a problem.
It is a pure sugar, right?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
really good,
it's,
though.
It's like, what if they took something like Sprite and added even more sugar?
I haven't had a limeade in forever. Oh,
fuck. Sonic used to have a thing called a Rockstar Freeze.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was like one of those freezes that Taco Bell has, but it was Rockstar flavored.
Are you sure?
Shit.
Are you sure it wasn't Red Bull? Because they did a Red Bull Freeze. And I drank that.
It was not Red Bull.
Okay.
It was absolutely not Red Bull. It might have been Full Throttle.
Okay. So then they did both. Because I drank the Red Bull one. And I thought that was pretty good. I thought it was all right. Full Throttle. What a fucking C-grade energy drink.
It used to be my favorite. And then just something clicked in my brain like, no, it's bad. Fuck that. And I haven't gotten one since then.
I
don't know what happened.
I remember I used to shit talk Rockstar and Full Throttle basically nonstop because at one point in time I was dating a chick who just drank nothing but the most stank ass fucking energy drinks. Yeah, no, that it's real gross. I need to not think about it.
If I'm going sugar free, Red Bull is always the way I go. But if I'm going for something with sugar in it, the default Rockstar is my favorite.
I'm going to do blueberry Red Bull every time until diabetes claims a limb. That's if I'm going for a sugary one, that's it. That's the one. But to be honest, I don't really do sugared energy drinks anymore. I do like a low carb Monster, the normal blue one where it's blue text, black can. The ultra, what do they call it? Ultra low carb, zero sugar. That stuff's disgusting. Every time I've tried to drink it, I wanted to spit it out immediately. But yeah, no. Monster Rehab, Monster Low Carb. Anyway, we've spent enough time stalling while Field dealt with something. Let's move on to what we've been playing.
Raw.
I've been doing intense video tests on retro video game upscalers. I'm almost at the end of those tests, but because of upcoming content plans, I may not be able to get that video video about it out for a couple of weeks, but rest assured, it will be the highest quality fucking video you've ever seen of a retro video game upscaler, and you will learn some shit by the end of it. Unfortunately, though, I was not able to platinum Kingdom Hearts because of that. I wasn't able to platinum Death Stranding because of that. And I also was not able to platinum what me and KZ hope to platinum in the next few months.
Oh my god, yeah.
I'm happy to announce we are going to platinum Destiny 1 at some point. KZ and I.
This is our worst idea ever.
Just smash cut to a pair of tombstones.
It's okay.
It's like, hey, Destiny 2, been out for, what, 3 years?
Uh-huh.
Let's go back to D1, see what we can get done.
Here's the funny thing. The three games I just listed that I'm really close on the platinums, all three of them are the three largest games on my PS4 hard drive. All three of them are at least 50 gigs.
They need to go.
They have to go. The closest one is Kingdom Hearts 3. I got platinum
after it took you 45 minutes to find one chest in the Keyblade graveyard.
Yeah, that was a real moment at like 6 a.m. or some shit.
I was being very supportive and you were threatening to hurt me.
That is not exactly how that went. You were chuckling and shit.
Yeah, and I was calling you brain dead or something.
He can't even see my fucking screen and he's like, it's right there, Dan, it's right there. I'm like, fucking stop, man. I'm trying to figure out what this
I'm like,
text
what do you
description.
Mean? They're on a wall. This world isn't exactly large.
So it was at the one branch path in a very dark corner in a way you would never exit a room. That was why I didn't get it the first time through. It's one of the only branches. I think it may be the only branch in that entire area because it's, you know, Keyblade Graveyard. Anyway, I only have three trophies left on Kingdom Hearts 3. I've got several on Death Stranding. And on paper, I only have like three left on Destiny, but those are beat a raid on hard, beat a raid without anyone in your team dying or dropping. And then like, I don't know, one or two. No, it's like one piddly thing after that. So those are, on paper, that one's really close, but we got to get a team together for that, I feel.
Yeah, I'm looking at some stuff here. I have to fully upgrade two of the other classes.
Oh, that's true. I have to do that too. Never mind. No. I really undersold that.
Oh.
I have to find 50 dead ghosts.
That sucks, my friend. I've done that.
Complete a strike with a full fire team of only your clan members, so we do have to infect.
I have a clan. It's still
okay,
up.
Good.
It's the Gigaboots clan. I guess I should maybe prep a way for people to join, huh? Since we're bringing it up on this podcast. Ah, fuck. Well, anyway, that's...
Be like, hey, who wants to play Destiny 1 on PS4?
Hell yeah, man. That's what we're here for.
Get it reinstalled.
Get it reinstalled. It takes weeks.
Yeah.
Because that game's the largest out of all three. It's like 57 gigs. Not to scare off anyone
boy.
Who is remotely interested.
Oh, come on. They should have just compressed it more.
You know, in the case of Destiny... Because, you know, we'll just dip our toe in that news. So it came out like with literal leak showing on the back of the box for Final Fantasy VII Remake that it is 100 gigs. And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. They said it was two Blu-rays. And KZ was saying they said that at E3, right?
That's the first thing that Kitase opened with after they started the conference where they're like, we're working real hard on the remake. We estimate it will take two full Blu-ray discs for this one game.
So that was 8 months ago that we knew that. So it didn't surprise me at all to hear this. But apparently it blew the minds of certain people on Twitter who decided to say shit like, why don't game devs compress stuff? Now, I'm not saying Square Enix has never shipped a game that was not optimized. Somebody was keen to point out that Nier Automata has 61 megabit per second cutscenes, which is a little excessive, even as someone who enjoys video quality like me. And that's not, honestly not as much of a problem as the, what was it? It's the global illumination resolution of that game is literally four times higher than you can even perceive with the way the renderer's set up. So that's there's definitely some optimization that could be done in Nier Automata, but I don't know anything about main, you know, first party Square Enix that proves that they're like hacks, you know, like, oh, they have a track record. This isn't like Game Freak, where we have a history of people being like, they stored this main character 63 times on the cartridge. Which, honestly, that isn't even as insane as every time you enter the battle, it decrypts and encrypts your Pokemon 6 times per action. And I'm like, what? 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 But yeah, anyway, point is, there was a fun Twitter moment with that.
Where you simply said correct things in response, and people told you to stop defending Square Enix and their anti-consumer practices.
Yes, their anti-consumer practices, and then
of their game big.
Yeah, their game big. How dare? What was it? Somebody brought to my attention that there's like some weird. They're like, they do this so they can monopolize your hard drive, cutting out all of the competition. And I'm like, that's a one that's stupid because that's a dual-edged blade, like that can cut both ways. That can prevent someone from buying your game because your game's too big. Two, where the fuck is everyone getting this conspiracy theory? Turns out it was some fucking idiot who's an analyst of the video games industry who wrote an article on Gamma Sutra fucking 3 years
GameIndustry.biz.
GameIndustry.biz. GameIndustry.biz, something like 3 or 4 years ago. And I'm like, this guy's an idiot. He doesn't provide any justification for his argument. It's literally, if it's like you heard someone explain chemtrails.
Yes. It was extra funny when you read it now and I go, oh, yeah, because the title says this is going to be their battlefield until streaming takes over and then it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, they're literally sitting there being like, streaming's gonna...
So it's just a secret streaming puff piece.
Yes, because this is what people...
I don't even think it's that. I just think every fucking brain dead, quote unquote, analyst hack in the industry just thought Stadia would just run over everybody, and now they're fucking stunned. And that's why they're turning into Rami Ismail, shrieking that it's fine, because they can't be wrong.
Rami, stop coming up on our podcast!
I don't know. People are still like insane. Like freaking the Phil Spencer out there like, oh, our real competition's Google and Amazon.
That is insane. That is insane.
He needs to keep saying that. It's really funny.
I don't think Microsoft making xCloud is insane, but I do think him saying that's fucking bonkers.
Grand Canyon.
Because xCloud makes sense, you know? Like,
yeah.
Of course. Like, hey, if I'm at work and I was playing an RPG or something that's a bit less, you know, latency sensitive, I would absolutely love to play whatever it was on my phone real quick. And in fact, Microsoft, I believe they announced a partnership with Samsung, so that way their controllers are going to be compatible with Samsung phones, and xCloud is going to be supported out of the phone, apparently. So that's cool. They're making real moves, plus they're doing this with a pre-existing game platform, unlike Stadia.
A platform for 10 games.
Hey, they announced 5 more. We talked about that last week.
Yeah, no dates.
Someday.
They also announced Doom Eternal. That's what they announced
is
after
Doom
the 5.
Doom on Stadia?
No. Not yet.
That's the funniest shit in the world.
It is.
Because the whole thing was that's the first game they showed off. And then when Greg Miller's show, where he interviewed one of the dudes at Stadia who works directly in the games, who left Sony at some point. It was not Phil Harrison, it was some other guy.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, apparently they pushed multiple people there. And he said it was our specific goal to show Doom off, to show that we were able to get this working, we can get any game working, because of how Doom is a fast-paced game. And it's just not on Stadia. It's still not.
Yep.
They really proved a lot.
I mean, game devs just see that this is a bomb.
Sure, someday.
Yeah, but yeah, game devs just, they can tell. already that this is just a flop, which is why you haven't seen a single update.
Which means
update.
It's their fault. They're not supporting it.
Thanks, Google. But yeah, that's enough about my week. That's enough about broader news. We at least got some of that out in advance. Hey, Bob, what have you been playing?
The new game, Katana Kami, A Way of the Samurai Story, came out.
Oh.
And I got to play a few hours of that because it just came out today. So I haven't been playing much.
Digital-only release?
Digital-only release, $30.
It's the latest game in the Way of the Samurai franchise that is nothing like the rest of the Way of the Samurai franchise.
Is this the one that snuck up on Dan, or is that another game?
That was this one, yeah, where we just lost our shit because it was like, what do you mean
and
it's coming
you're
out
like,
next
no,
week?
Stop this!
Yeah, this is bullshit.
Last week, I think, was the news saying it was releasing next week, or this week,
yep.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
That game.
How is it?
It's very much not like a standard Way of Samurai game, which is like a third person sword fighting game with a lot of story elements and different ways you can make the plot go. This instead is like a top down hack and slash game with
so vaguely relatable to a Diablo,
kind of like that, yeah, but there's still a targeting system and you still have moves kind of like you would in Way of Samurai where you hit forward and attack on the analog stick and you do a different attack. But yeah, it's got that sort of Diablo-esque, it's a randomized dungeon you go into every time. Every night you get to go into that dungeon, it reconstructs in a different way, so it's roguelike in that way. But if you die, you're not dead for good. You lose all your items that you carried with you. It's also set like immediately after the first Way of the Samurai game.
Is it in the same location?
Yes.
Okay, I thought that shit looked a lot like Way of the Samurai 1 directly, and I was like, there's no way.
Yeah, it's just okay. You're trying to build up. Like, I'm only a few days into the game, because each day is in-game has got different events in it and whatnot, so I haven't been able to see exactly what they do with that, other than each day you get a new newspaper, and the newspaper tells you about, the factions in Rogue... What's it called? Whatever
Roman?
The name.
Roman?
No, there's some name for the past. It's like or...
Whatever.
Rokutotsu, or something to that effect.
Anyway.
Yeah, you see the different factions that are there, which are the same factions for the first game, and like your alignment is with them. And you also see little news articles about what's going on in the town, but you can't actually go to the town yet. I assume that'll change at some point. But yeah, basically, beginning of the game, you meet the Dojima. He's the blacksmith of the town. He's down his luck, doesn't have any money, and is his daughter is being kidnapped by, the guy who's a loan shark for him. So basically, he can't pay him back, so he comes and takes his daughter. His daughter doesn't exist in the regular Way of the Samurai game.
Right.
This is new.
They invented a daughter.
And then you get dialogue choices for helping him, and every single choice is, I want to help you so that I can marry your daughter. It's a little weird, because, like...
I mean, the people need to realize, the Way of the Samurai franchise is, like, an interactive version of a samurai film, right?
Yeah, it's very directly a Kurosawa movie.
Right, it's a very Kurosawa film energy. You get to choose your dialogue options, which drastically affect the outcome. There's a lot of branches. So, some of the choices in the original Way of the Samurai were, I saved you so I could fuck you.
Yes.
It's just like, what?
So when I got to the point in this game and it was literally like all three options it gave me were different forms of saying, yeah, can I marry her?
I'm here to get my dick wet. Oh, that's
I saved her so I own her.
And then he lumbers off dragging her with him. That's kind of fucking nuts.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. So you live with the blacksmiths, and every few days the loan shark comes by wanting payment, and you're getting money from the dungeon you go into each night to pay him back. It's interesting, and I don't entirely hate it, but it's not like a Way of the Samurai game at all. And it has a lot of weird glitches, like it'll have a lot of slowdown issues when you first start combat. Sometimes it'll just freeze for half a second, and that seems like the problem almost all the time, just at random, because it's normally like a locked frame rate, and then it'll just do that. It also has weird problems with unsheathing your sword taking way longer than it should. It's a weird mess. I think I'll like it, but it's not It's not good.
No.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
I'm still interested in checking it out myself.
It has online multiplayer components too.
What?
Right?
For the thriving online community of Way of the Samurai fans.
Did you know it's also a battle royale?
I ran to like three people. And it has this thing where they can either choose to cooperate or like fight you. So it's almost like Dark Souls where you get to a new floor of a dungeon and then they might be there with you. And just hanging out. And you can work together or you can attack
Should've
each other.
Should have rolled.
I only had one guy attack me.
Cood.
It was literally like, I don't think that he figured out how to upgrade his sword. So I just completely wrecked him.
That's always a good feeling. Oh, hello, person on the internet who has no idea how to play this game. Nice to meet you.
It still has a lot of the blacksmith's elements from the old Way of Samurai games. Like,
you're saying you can piss him off and then not be able to get items blacksmithed for the rest of the game? Is that what you're saying when you say blacksmith elements? Because that's what me and Aggro experience.
I haven't tried that yet. I feel like there's room for that because you can still take your sword out and kick and stuff in the overworld area, not in the dungeon. And I haven't really tested how much you can screw yourself. You don't seem to have a save menu, so I'm worried about doing that and just ruining the whole game.
Oh, that's a shame. Having a manual save
automatically auto saves.
Yeah, that would make sense.
No, that's a feature now, Dan. That's like how in none of the FromSoft games you can manually save. And the exact second your weapon makes contact with an NPC, the game saves.
Just for the record, to get this out there now, what Aggro and I did was self-defense. The blacksmith came at us for no reason at all. He just didn't agree with us that we should have the weapon for free after he upgraded it. And what we did was out of self-defense and nothing else.
Were you actually able to kill that guy?
I think we killed him, because then when you finally joined that Let's Play in part 6, you're like, where did he go?
But yeah, your swords have durability, so you're always worried about not breaking them. And you can literally like break down other swords you find into your current sword to keep it durable. Which the enemies drop a ton of swords. Like every enemy who has a weapon drops it. So even a bow and arrow, I was surprised by that. And yeah, there's a lot of just going through dungeons. It's weird. I want to play more of it. The other things I tried out this week is we got some remasters.
Yes, we did.
So I played Bayonetta.
Mm-hmm.
That looks really nice on the PS4. It runs well too.
Yeah.
It's cool to see that on a console now instead of just PC.
Digital Foundry did a video on it. It's a really good one. They split up Bayonetta and Vanquish into two videos, so they haven't done Vanquish yet, but they got their Bayonetta one done. Looks like the PS4 Pro version's 1440p with some interesting stuff about it. Worth checking out. I too got this collection, but I only intend to play Vanquish at first.
That's fair. I have not played Vanquish yet.
Yeah, me neither. Stupid video test.
Right.
Fuck. How's Bayonetta treating you? You enjoying it?
Yeah, I still enjoy it. It's
what was with that bird you posted on Twitter where you're like, this guy still sucks?
Oh yeah, that bird is just one of the most annoying birds to capture in the game, because they get away so quickly and they get away into an invisible wall. So you can't just chase them down a little bit farther. They just immediately jump into the invisible wall as you come at them. So you need to get at them really quick.
Oh, that's cool.
Not really.
No, that sounds great. I don't know what you're talking about, Bob.
I mean, yeah, I still like Bayonetta 1 a lot. It's, of course, not as good as, like, Devil May Cry 3 or 5, but it's an interesting game. I always have, like, the management of the magic and how you can do instant kills using it and stuff like that. The other one that came out was the Devil May Cry 3 remaster for the Switch.
Oh, man. Good week for remasters for Bob.
Yes. Yeah, two of my favorite games.
Much fun for Bob.
This was a lot more to it than a typical remaster, because it adds like the style switching and the weapon switching stuff that's from later games. And from games that, like, it's the first one to have a weapon switch wheel for a Devil May Cry. So that's interesting. I haven't got enough weapons to really exploit it to figure out how it works, because I've only got two weapons each into the first like three or four missions real quick. But that game's still really great. style switching is really nice to have in an official release. I hope they roll this out to all the other versions. I feel like they also made the load times better. Like, it loads really quickly, which I did not feel like the PS4 version did.
Yeah, I feel like it loads faster than the PS4 version based on having gone through that Let's Play with you and just looking over at you playing the Switch version.
Yeah, it's like immediate almost everywhere.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And it runs really smoothly, too, because, you know, it's a PS2 game.
Because it's a PS2
better.
Sorry, guys, we couldn't get 60 frames per second on Devil May Cry 3 on the Switch.
It was just too intense.
It's okay. We added new features like a sharpening filter.
Oh, no. And I want to try that two-player mail sometime. Because they had that where he plays Virgil and Dante in the Bloody Palace. But that's it for me this week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to doing some co-op Bloody Palace. We need to do a stream.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That would be really cool. Hey, KZ, what have you been playing?
All right, so I went through the entirety of the Fire Emblem Three Houses DLC story thing they put out, which is the end of their season pass, Cindered Shadows, which is the first, like, meaty thing they've put in that season
pass. It's the first thing that shouldn't have been a free update.
Yes, because the other stuff was a sauna that you can hang out with your students in, and it lets you bond with them so that they do better in class, I guess. Maid outfits, extra optional battles to get experience faster, but finally they've added a story thing with this.
What was the new gay character that absolutely 100% should have been in the game at launch, and there's no reason they weren't free, or was that
free part of the season pack? Yeah, that character. Okay. Yeah, that was a free, but only recruitable on one of the four routes in the main game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool because I did that route before this DLC, and that character just vanishes with no fanfare and is never seen or mentioned ever again.
Yeah, it sounds like he just wasn't done somehow. But this DLC came out. It's a story. It's a side story. So you select it from the title screen. Takes place maybe like four or five chapters into the main game. It's like 1 month after the main character gets their signature weapon. And party-wise, you get the three main characters, one for each of the houses, join you alongside one member of their house, alongside the new characters, where you go into the secret sewer system catacombs where an entire civilization lives, called Abyss. Apparently, it's for people that are displaced and shunned by the world above, I guess. The church doesn't like them. But they're like, you stay here, I guess. But we will never mention you. They say that they go out of their way to never mention its existence. Which, I guess, has to explain why it's never mentioned in the main game at all.
That's a good excuse.
Right? Yeah, it's very, very strange. It's seven chapters long. And they also feel shorter as a result, because it lacks the one thing I enjoyed the most about Three Houses. The whole thing where you have support conversations, where you talk to characters one-on-one or between two other characters that aren't the main character. Like, see their relationship develop. That's not in.
What?
None of the teaching is in. What? None of the bonding is in. Certifications,
oh,
where you level up the characters and then give them, like, a better class. That's not in either. They give you a couple of them that they have access to at the start, and then you switch them if you want, which I did not.
It's their fucking it's boomer mode. It's like when Fire Emblem Fates Conquest came out, and it's like, we're like an old Fire Emblem game where you have to just go through the levels. But it's
absolutely, because the way that they prop this up, this is a Fire Emblem experience compared to the main game that is more focused on finite resources. You have a limited amount of stuff. You can't grind at all. It is impossible to grind in this DLC. The only times you get battles are from the main ones. So hopefully the right people level up, and hopefully they get the right level up bonuses. I was like, God, this is the most bouncer adjacent slice of Fire Emblem I've played here, where there's like no hope at making my characters better. But the structure is a little bit of story stuff. There's a hub which is much smaller, but it's in that area, the Abyss. You can pick up like rusted pieces of garbage in one room, and then you can take them to a blacksmith to get them made into proper normal weapons.
Does
it has all the same vendors that have the same voice actors and models, which makes it seem like, oh, I guess everyone had a twin that
what?
Were banished to this abyss.
Did
so it's like the same blacksmith woman.
Hey.
And I thought that that was funny. But you go into battle. You do your battle. It ends the chapter. Sometimes they change it up a little bit where like one chapter ends and it goes immediately into another fight. And then they bring you back to the hub and the hub will just end the chapter if you leave it. So there's things that mix it up.
So does the hub run now?
I think so, because it's like a fifth of the size of the other one. And there's so much less people in it. But it serves the same function. You talk to your students. They say, you know, they all have fully voice acted lines and everything, because that is probably the most interesting thing that this Fire Emblem game has over a lot of other contemporary RPGs, is that I can't find anything that isn't voice acted. Like, even the nothing NPCs say something in this game. The battles I have an issue with, where occasionally in the main game you would have fights where they would give you a bunch of enemies on a map, and then as you're about to run out of enemies, they then like carpet bomb you with another wave. And this DLC does that a lot. Like, it just keeps adding more and more enemies. And it made sense in the main game because they have to account for so many different playstyles. You're teaching your students in different ways. You're potentially recruiting a shit ton of students. And you have so many other abilities and jobs and stuff. So it made sense to account for that when it comes to like having enough enemies to maybe make this challenging. Here it just feels like a bit of a meat grinder. It definitely feels harder, but I don't know if it's necessarily harder in a way that I felt satisfied. Because there's I think the second map is you fight a wave of enemies, then another corner, another set comes in right as you kill the last one. Then they do it again. Then they do it again, and then the Death Knight shows up for no reason for the last wave and says, I'm going to be active. I'm not just going to stand in place, which is what he does in the main game most of the time. He will just stand there and not attack you unless you attack him. No, he's just running up on you.
Wow, he really is just a shitty version of the Black Knight from Path of Radiance.
Yeah, in this he actually is active. However, he's on the opposite side of the map as me, so he never even got close, and he went, oh, you killed everyone. Well, I guess my time to pillage is done. I'm like, you did nothing. You made no contact with anyone.
Yeah, that's how the Black Knight would work. In the maps, he would appear, and he would appear very far away. You'd look at his stats and go, oh, fuck.
Yeah, that was
I better
was
get me. This
I
map went,
oh
done.
Fuck. I always go, oh fuck, I'm just gonna miss every time I attack you. There's no real reason to attack him even in this DLC, because the main reason you do it in the main game is he would drop a dark seal that you could use to get some special classes on certain characters. Here that you can't get new classes for anyone. So it does not matter. And one of the maps that I found to be particularly bad is the most budget one, where they're like, we need to find this ancient artifact that is deep within Abyss. We have to go deeper and deeper down. And in the story, they go, all right, we've been traveling for hours and hours. We've made it. And somehow going underground, traveling through it, they somehow reached an outside area that was forested. And was the exact same map you've seen used in the main game a bunch, but they tinted it orange.
Boo!
To trick you into thinking it looks different. And then it was a map with too many enemies. You have to take out this giant golem that gives you a key, and then you use the key on one of the four locks. And if you pick the wrong lock, it summons more reinforcements. And when I did it, it hit all 10 party members with a spell that cut their movement in half. Ones that were halfway across the map suddenly cursed because someone used a key on the wrong lock. I looked it up. There's seemingly no way to find out what the right lock is, and it's always the same one. You have to go to one on like the far left. So stuff like that really kind of drove me up a wall. And the last boss in particular is, in my opinion, really bad. Like, mechanics wise, where it's, you need to kill this thing four times. And it's like, okay, I can do that, but they have armor that's on top of like where they're standing. So you have to either have a really strong character with a strong weapon hit it to shatter it, or do two physical attacks against it. But every two turns, it will do a special attack that hits everything on the map, randomly teleports everyone to different spots on the map, teleports itself, and regains all its armor.
This sounds fucking miserable. What the fuck is wrong with
it? And then summons additional enemies that it will suck the life out of them to heal itself. And will summon like three per turn. And I'm like, this is... Why is all of this happening? It just felt... It felt like maybe something from an old Fire Emblem game that didn't really gel with anything they did in this.
There is fucking nothing like that. Maybe if you go to Thrasia 557 or whatever number 5 is, where it's just a meat grinder, but there's nothing like that fucking in any of the Game Boy Advance ones, either of the two console ones, or even the earlier DS ones, as far as I know.
Yeah.
And I played
like
most of
I saw a lot of guides online saying, use your gambits, which is like when you get like these armies you recruit, they can actually attack things, and that shatters the armor good, but you can only use it once, and he regains the armor every two turns. So it's like you could potentially waste it. I just feel like it was way too strict. I just ultimately didn't like that. Writing-wise, I think the new characters they introduced, the four of them, which can be put into the main game after you beat it, and they have post-time skip designs for that, and they have full supports and stuff, so I think all that's neat, but within their own story, I think they were okay, but overall, the writing and the main plot they tried to deliver might be the worst of Three Houses in general to me. One of the worst villains I played in an RPG in recent memory. It's not great. They only had 7 chapters to set this up. You can probably call it almost immediately, but it's just not great. I like the core gameplay of Fire Emblem, but I feel like they went way too hard on the challenge aspect of it, and I kind of felt like fights were wasting my time instead of something else. It felt like we need to make sure that every fight you do is at least 50 minutes long to complete, even on normal, so that we can justify, you know, we charge $25 for this whole thing. Nothing here really felt like this is the best the game has to offer. Because, you know, Kingdom Hearts 3 Remind also came out, and that's a very highly priced DLC, but there are things in it that I go, this is some of the best stuff they've put in the core in the game's experience. Here, I didn't feel that with anything that they offered, really. And the fact that I feel like the most appealing parts of it are put into the main game. Where it's like these characters can be in the main game, and we've added their classes, and they can now be used by other characters. And I'm like, that gets me. But the things I go to Fire Emblem Three Houses for were not present in the DLC story that I played. It was battles and some nice character interactions. So I came out disappointed by it, but I feel like I would have... I don't think it's terrible, I just think it's mediocre. I would have hated it more if it was longer. I think if it was longer than seven short chapters, I would have probably had more of an issue with it. Which kind of reminds me of, like, Star Ocean 5. I felt the same way with that. Where that's mediocre, but it's not that long. But, that's it. That's all I did.
A resounding recommendation from KZ Excellent.
Yep, I cannot believe. I can't believe it took them almost a year to put that out, man. I appreciate like, you know, them saying we're not making a true route because that's against the point of our game, but this was also like, ugh.
I mean, it's only been, what, came out in
June.
It's so, been eight months.
I was hoping for at least you can teach the students, because that's one of the main parts of that game.
And you said this DLC is $25?
It's the season pass, but everything they've been offering previously were small mechanic to bond with students where you sit and it's like a heat management thing because you're in a sauna and you don't want to overheat them. And costumes and like optional battle stuff. That's just like, go here, there's more gold on this battle. So it was a lot of really nothing stuff. And seeing people recently talk to me about what other Fire Emblem DLC was, this is seemingly like the worst offering they've ever done. And that the 3DS entries did a much better job. Even then, that wasn't ideal.
Are we just having a bad batting average for DLC on Switch games, on Nintendo games? I'm trying to think what was, like, Breath of the Wild had good DLC, right? It was okay.
I didn't play it, but it seems better.
I mean, it wasn't what a lot of people wanted, which was more story stuff at all.
Yeah, that was...
So that was disappointing.
There was, like, part of it that was, like, the big trials where it's battle stuff, but then they had the one with the shrines with the motorcycle.
Yeah, they like, teased early on the final one was going to have some sort of story to it, and that basically didn't happen.
They showed like a cutscene, right? They showed like unfinished cutscenes that implied it'd be more of a story thing,
right? And instead we just got the motorcycle thing, which the motorcycle is cool, but it's not a story.
Okay, so
yeah,
guys,
I'm thinking about Nintendo DLC.
I'm struggling. Nothing
particularly astounding is coming.
Other than Smash Bros, it's like...
Yeah, it was like Smash Bros DLC, by and large, has been stellar, in my opinion. Like, even if you think Byleth isn't great,
that was a great season. I feel like it's not that hard for that one, in a way.
I don't know.
Like, people just want...
Smash 4 wasn't anywhere near as good, if you ask me. Like, Smash 4 had Bayonetta and Cloud, sure, but I can't think of anyone else off the top of my head.
Yeah. I meant more in, like, offering the things people want, in a way where Smash is like, people want fighters, they want more stages, and Smash usually delivers on that, the quality or your preference on them withstanding. But then you have something like a Fire Emblem that's like, we're offering you one factor of maybe five different things you come to this for.
Yeah, it's complicated, sure, but yeah, it's a shame that they didn't do more Mario Kart DLC. I feel like that would have been nice.
Oh, man, just do it.
Yeah.
Nintendo is so weird with DLC. Like, I feel like a bunch of shit that should have been free and then something that isn't that great was also what happened with Breath of the Wild.
Yeah,
was Mastermind free?
I don't remember. I think it was part of the DLC.
Yeah, it's
man, it's
weird.
It's weird.
We're talking about DLC.
Yeah.
So I think we could bring up the Smash thing that just came out. Sakurai's Famitsu column.
Yes.
He was talking about the Smash stuff. He said the second season pass is the last one.
Mm-hmm.
So these are going to be the last six fighters. Just similarly, the last time Nintendo gave him a list of characters, and they picked out. Before was they gave him a list of characters and he picked them. He picked five out of those, but this time it looks like they just picked six. I saw some people like worried that maybe that means the picks won't be great, but I'm pretty sure they had like a list that had like Joker and Terry in them, so I think it might be okay.
I'm pessimistic, but I love Smash, so I'll appreciate any DLC. Living up to the standard of season one isn't easy. Like, that's a fucking legend of a season. It had fucking Terry, Joker, and Dragon Quest, and fucking Banjo. Good fucking luck.
Yeah, it would be incredibly hard. I will stay optimistic with them so long while their average is good.
Yeah.
But if we end up getting, like, two... If they start with two, like, mediocre picks in a row, then I'd be like, okay.
All right, okay, everyone, come up with a Smash DLC character. It's just one character, okay? And this one character will make you abandon all hope, and it is so likely for Nintendo to do it. Bob. Bob, what is the first character of season 2 of Smash that makes you abandon all hope?
What's that Pokemon that uses its gills on its chest to make noise?
Toxtricity.
Yeah,
Toxtricity,
that
one of the best Pokemon designs in years. He's incredible.
Yeah, he sure is one of the worst Pokemon I've ever seen.
Bob's
what are you fucking talking about? Bob's... Once again, Bob, the villain of Big Think Dimension.
I'm going to check the comments and it's going to be like...
It's like literally the opposite of what I'd ever want.
I totally see where you're coming from, but the vastness of your hatred for that Pokemon is constantly delightful for me as a passive observer.
I mean, they released his Gigantamax version in there.
when I look at like Pokemon, I'm like, yeah, no, Impidimp is way better. That's really bad.
Look, Bob, there's nothing you can stop from Pokemon getting more and more furry as time goes on. You need to just give up.
It's like, I'm in the Digimon. Hi, I shoot missiles.
So, moving on. Mr. Feel, what is the character they could roll out in slot one for
Waluigi.
Season 2? Oh, fuck both Waluigi. Of you. You're both fuck criminals him. On different ends of the spectrum.
Waluigi
would give me more faith because they know people want it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Waluigi would
Feels
be...
just a bad hater.
I think Waluigi would be
People
fine.
People who love Waluigi aren't human beings. I said it.
Yeah, you sure did say it.
Yeah, you did.
KZ?
He said that to the judge. The judge, death.
No, the judge would be like, you're right. He was only in sports game and was never in a real game. Why the fuck would anybody want him?
Sports games are real games.
So is Mario Party.
Fantastic. He goes, wah.
Yeah, I liked that webcomic too. He doesn't get into Smash because people like that webcomic.
I mean, the character makes that sound. I don't... Anyway, KZ, what's your...
Like an Animal Crossing character, I guess? Like anything that's like from a new game.
Yeah, I think...
If they're like, we're adding something... specifically new, because my impression is I like pretty much every new addition they've been adding to Smash because they offer something fun. But if they say opened with an Animal Crossing character or a character from a new Nintendo thing, whatever it may be, I go, okay, this is setting a precedent that it's only going to be recency stuff now, which I wouldn't say I'd necessarily opposed to, but it kills my dreams of surprising cool stuff like a third party rep or maybe a deep cut of something.
Luckily, Nintendo doesn't have enough first party games to put one character in each slot this season. That's why it's covering 2 years.
I have one that would literally make me abandon all hope and put me on suicide watch.
Yeah.
Mallow.
Yes.
God, how would they even. What would. They'd have lost
They
their
would
minds.
Just be clearly trying to harm me.
Yes.
Yo, Mallow's raw. He's a prince.
I like Mallow. We didn't wait 20 fucking years to get Mallow.
That'd be funny. He has the stick. He has like the lightning.
He will actually symbol, so you should assemble.
Yeah, he has the symbols.
Like, Mallow's fine. You're not going to hear a counter argument from me on how Mallow isn't cool. Mallow's fine. If they put Mallow in and not Geno beforehand, I will literally die.
It would be the funniest shit ever, because then they'd be like, and we got one more character, and then it's Echo Fighter Boshi.
Dan, I don't know how to tell you this, but... need to be scared of those Mii fighter costumes that now that they're just doing whole new models.
I know.
Who doesn't get scared of those Mii? Every Mii fighter segment from every stream they have done has given me an intense anxiety that hurts. Because I'm like, oh no, something cool might be in here. Uh-oh.
Yeah, I mean...
Usually it's
deconfirmed.
Usually it's shit that there's no chance of ever being a fighter on their own, but now they have these whole new model things where it's like, here's where we put things people want that we don't really want to do. based on Dan's statement that people would like Waluigi. So as much as I fucking despise him and think he is a meme, that would not make me lose hope. If the first character is Rex from Xenoblade 2.
Oh, no!
Yeah, that'd be pretty dire.
That is on my list of characters I want. Rex is raw. He's got that drip. He's got the sauce.
I would happily play as him, but it would just be like, the rest of these will not be impressive.
You push the D-pad up and he goes, it's a girl.
No, you push the D-pad down, make a girl cry. That's not going to fly.
Okay, I've actually signed up for this.
Make a girl smile, you pass the trial.
You know what?
Is this real? Does he say
all
this?
That is one of the many rules, part of the Salvager's Code in Xenoblade Chronicles 2. A fantastic RPG that takes way too long. He has battle line where he screams, we'll defeat them with the power of friendship, and I shriveled into a raisin.
So, KZ, did you play anything else this week?
No, I'm done. That's
okay.
It.
Hey,
go ahead.
Peel, what have you been playing over the last week?
I played a bunch of Street Fighter V Championship Edition online. I played about 6 hours, not counting what I played with the people on this podcast. I had some fun in those 6 hours. I experienced more rage quits than I did in 30 hours of Dragon Ball Fighters.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But yes. Then again, you don't dunk people as the Android Man. Let me tell you about them not wanting to stick around for that destructive finish.
I literally just went, okay, I just can't use my super.
Yeah.
If I use my super, they will disconnect.
Yep.
Because they have to watch it and they refuse to watch it.
Yeah. And it happens a lot. You'll be like, I get somebody who's like a 25 win streak. I'm like, you're a fucking rage quitter, aren't you? And then, surprise, they're a fucking rage quitter.
Wait, it doesn't cancel their win streak if they quit?
No.
Nope.
Street Fighter 5 still has no rage quitting penalty at all.
Ugh.
They don't even have
begging
an option
for that at launch, that nightmarish launch.
They don't even have an option to filter them out the way Fighters does.
It's almost like they don't have anyone who has a fucking clue about the fighting game community running anything over there.
Reminder, Killer Instinct 2013 had the hilarious thing of the baby jail, where if you play like that, you rage quit a bunch or you get reported a lot. You can only play with other people like that.
Yeah, they
which
have
is
a
great.
They have like a shadow ban.
That's
yeah,
great.
So they're like, you're only playing with awful people just like you.
Like your title, like you have in Fighters or Street Fighter 5, it turns to jail and has bars over it. It's just going, you're a piece of shit, and you're
also
in the piece of shit zone.
Ninja Dog mode.
Yes, it's the Ninja Dog mode. For the sake of the audience, I would like to know, Feel gave me shit for supposedly playing without him when we did our second set of rounds.
I did not give you shit. I just thought it was funny. I just thought it was funny, like, oh, in the Dan who went in the red.
You're three ranks above me now.
Yes, it's funny, like, when we play Fighters and suddenly I'm 40 matches ahead of the last time we played, which I also point out every time it happens.
But yeah, I didn't actually play it on another night. I just kept playing after we finished playing that one night. Speaking of which,
yeah, I forget that you have 180 hour days sometimes.
Sometimes this last week sucked.
The other game I played,
yes,
was Sonic Adventure Director's Cut.
Yeah,
that nice. Game's a trip in the sense that I've never played a game where I felt like I was holding the controls to something and being like, hold it together, girl. Hold it together as the whole thing fucking shakes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's how the game.
Every single time.
It's like
time
you're controlling a house of cards.
It is. You stand on it. There's a part in the second to last Sonic level where you have to jump onto a moving platform and ride it around. And I'm like, oh, this isn't going to work.
Yeah, no.
And
that,
like the
I know
entire time,
about. It's
the
so
entire
bad.
Time you're jittering. I'm like, I'm sliding around. I'm fucking jittering. Am I just gonna fall through this fucking platform? That what's going to happen?
And that's the level where the entire level is kind of taking place on multiple planes, like the bottom, the top, and the side, the walls, right? and you're just riding these platforms around. God, yeah, that level's a fucking mess.
God. I beat the entire thing because I streamed it over a couple days. I have no idea why you would ever put Big Story into anything.
It's a fucking joke. Like, that's it. You need to pad out your game with
horrible
bullshit.
The only part that was funny is when you get to the end and it's like, fight Chaos 6 is big. And I'm like, what the what form is this boss going to take? And within the first 5 seconds, I throw the fishing pole once and pull the frog out and it ends.
Yeah.
Literally in under 10 seconds. And the boss doesn't go anywhere. He just stands there. His big dances back and forth.
Of course. What a Chad.
Froggy.
I'm sure that game was really, really impressive in 1999.
Mostly the whale thing. That's about it, honestly. Like, the
at least Gamma's story was raw.
Yeah. Yeah, Gamma's all right. People who say Sonic Adventure 1's much better than Sonic Adventure 2 blow my mind every time they do it.
I have not played Sonic Adventure 2 in like 15 years. There is no way it's even close to Sonic Adventure 1. Like, it's so much better. It has to be.
It is. That is to say, it's a good video game by, you know, normal video game standards, but it is better than Sonic Adventure 1 in ways that I think are significant.
I've seen so many video essays saying Sonic Adventure 2 is actually bad that I have to believe it's good.
I'm sure it's probably fine.
As you know, there are no good Sonic games, which is why we're taking pitches from three contestants.
No!
Welcome!
Oh no, is this the Kiwami episode?
Yes! The Kiwami bit this time is I let you believe it was Big Think for a full hour.
That would be the most nightmarish thing in the world where you cut you sneak it into Big Think. And then you go, all right now stop your Big Think file. We'll come back to it later.
Dan, do that at some point.
Leaving. God. Man. Did you play anything other than Sonic Adventure 1 and Street Fighter 5?
Nothing. I played a bunch of Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core, but I don't want to talk about that till I beat it. So
okay, that's fair. I mean,
next week.
I have yet to go through that game yet.
But you know, you shall not forestall Genesis's return. You know who else you can't forestall the return of?
Who?
The Pod Lords.
Oh, fuck the fucking Pod Lords.
The Pod Lords?
They're heroes.
The Gacked Lords.
Pod Lord heroes!
Heroes!
I started doing Live and Learn. The Pod Lord heroes for this episode of the Big Thing Dimension are Danny Richardson, E. Lee Broyles, Texas Man Joint Smash, Corey Brown, Dank, Mormons, Redblaze 27, Keyblade Master Jucifer, Suzu Shiro, Emperor Zero, Mitzi, Shall I Give You a Free Website? Watching both Sonic movies with your gamer girl or boy on Valentine's Day. Gex for Armchair Devs when? Gex 4 specifically. We have to make a sequel to that.
Oh, no!
I'm gonna go ahead and say never, because having three contestants just write terrible stand-up comedy and read it to each other sounds like a death.
Oh, don't worry. We'll do it. We'll do that during all Gex.
Lady Popcorn. I'm the real Mr. Feel. That fake has me trapped in hell.
You're not getting out.
Why does this happen every week? This is a nightmare.
Yes, I commissioned art of Gary Busey. Thank you, Justice Zag.
Oh, no!
Oh, no!
Stop. stunning with its amount of realism. You know,
KZ, save it and then make it go away.
You know what? I'm editing this tonight, so yes. Also, I've had some concerns in the back of my head, like, you know what? We give so much special treatment to one specific pod lord. It's kind of fucked up. But then they do this!
I know. Whatever, the Podlord segment is a meritocracy on two levels. Anyways, PC yep. Engine CD Sniffer Mozzarella. 101 Shades of Wonderful Remastered. WTF, Spider-Man. Mukuro Ikusaba, the 16th Podlord. Watch out for her.
Yes!
God.
Mr. I Like Bacon. Renegade. And Clout Strive. What's that?
Yeah,
I still really like that one.
What's that? Ad deal? Not interested. Thank you very much to our Podlords.
Thank you,
Podlords!
Thank you, Podlords!
And if you would like to become a Podlord, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/GBpodcasts. In addition to the Podlords tier, for as little as $5 a month, you can support us and get such benefits as cursed content commentary tracks where we watch bad movies, cursed content by committee where you pick which bad movie we watch, early access to Mondo Cool, that is our Dragon Ball movie review podcast. How much early you get it is up to Dan, because he's the one who decides that.
It's random.
extra armchair devs content where we actually get to explain our pitches and aren't just repeatedly shooting each other, and other benefits. That is patreon.com/GBpodcast.
Yes. Thank you all for considering supporting us on patreon.com. Mm. We got to talk about news. I stole Feel's news. I'm going to cover the news I stole from Feel first.
It had a very Dan energy to it.
Well, I am friends with the person responsible, so I felt I should be responsible for this bit of news. E's Oathenfell Ghana on PC has been updated with English voices and alternate soundtracks from console versions, Japanese consoles, like the PC-88 and the X68K. This is dope as hell, because for those who didn't know, when it came to PC originally, it did not have the PSP English voice dubs. It does now. This many
Wait,
years
Bob
later.
Did just play this last week?
I literally played this like a week ago, and now I might need to play it again.
Yeah.
I was upset that I didn't have Aika's voice acting. I was like, I guess I just didn't do voice acting.
There
at
you
all.
Go, Bob. Apparently, Sarlene is listening to the podcast. She heard you say that and put on the Thanos glove,
I'm
the
sure.
Infinity Gauntlet.
I'm sure that's how it happened.
She I'll snapped and it myself. Happened. Dubs are inevitable.
I honestly wonder if them doing Grand Blue Fantasy didn't sort of cause this, because Dogi is Patrick Seitz,
mm-hmm.
and he's also somebody in Grand Blue, and I wonder if they were just like, hey, can we get the rights to your fucking performance for this old-ass game and put the voices in the PC version? Sure.
I talked to her about this when it first came out, and how that was a mild bummer. You know, I wasn't complaining or anything. I was just like, that would have been neat, because I did own the PSP version as well. And she basically said it was very difficult to jump through the hoops to get it done. So it shocked even me that this much later she got it done. Sarlene's a badass. Anyways, E's Memories of Celceta has received Japanese voices added into the PC version as well. Both of these games are on sale now. So if you're interested, go get them.
Oh, yeah. This reminds me. The Memories of Celceta. I asked the Twitter account for Xseed if it was going to have cross-compatibility between the cross-save between Vita and the new PS4 version. It will not.
Okay.
Oh, no!
Well, thank you for asking,
also,
Bob.
The English voices got implemented in the most insane way imaginable.
How so?
If you want them off, the way you turn them off is you just turn the vocal sound slider all the way down.
Good.
That's fucking funny. That's really goddamn funny.
The way it should be.
KZ, we just had positive news about RPGs. Let's get some mid news on RPGs. What can you tell me about Final Fantasy VII Remake?
So like 20 episodes ago on Big Think Dimension, me and Bob had a argument bet thing in which whether or not Final Fantasy VII Remake's box would anywhere tell you whether or not it was the full FF7 experience. Someone has written here that I've been vindicated. I didn't write this.
Oh,
the Final Fantasy VII Part 1 does indeed clarify it.
Yes, the back says, in Part 1 of the standalone Final... in the standalone Part 1 of the Final Fantasy VII remake.
I'm glad they did
and
that.
And again, as I said, it was going to say it. It wasn't going to say it in necessarily the most delectable way, but it's going to let you know in some way on that box. It's
only on the back, though.
It's going to say it in legal print size.
Yeah, of course. My bet was the back.
Yeah, no, that's at least it's there at all.
Yeah.
At least it's there at all.
Oh, yeah, and if this was wrong and Bob was right, I was going to say, yeah, this is scummy, and I really don't agree with it. Because if there's nothing anywhere on the packaging...
Yeah.
Then some lawsuits would probably be thrown out, I imagine.
Possibly, yeah.
Like someone will try something, so...
Yeah.
But, yeah, the box is leaked. That's how we know about the game size.
Yes, true.
Yeah, they leaked from, like, Korea.
Bob, I'm gonna need the redemption story of Square Enix. Can you give that to me right now?
The City of Final Fantasy NT is finally dead.
Good.
Good.
And once again, like every good piece of Square Enix cancels something that the small people like, but is generally viewed negatively, they announced it on a live stream.
I'm gonna...
Yeah, it's a little weird.
They said, we initially planned for, starting from the arcade release, which was like a few years ago, had planned on supporting Dissidia for a decade.
Whoa!
Bullshit! Eat my ass!
That was their plan. It was to continue to add characters, which makes sense given that they data mined, and I think they are gonna... And obviously, they're not releasing some of the characters people data mined. I think there was like 5 or 6 left, at least, that were in files.
I mean... Feel.
Which matches up with the past like 8.
They said they wanted to make it an esports.
Yeah, they did want to make it an esport.
They just failed completely. It's trash.
Then some of those arcade games just live for a long time.
Yeah.
10-year plan of Dissidia NT.
It wasn't specifically NT, it was the arcade release, which is already a few years old.
So what? Dissidia NT so broken at a fundamental level you can't improve it? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like we'll go 10 years without making.
They
like
also
people
made a statement that they, yeah, they also made the statement that they are not making a sequel to this game. Which I've seen some people say it's like the franchise is dead. I'm like, no, I think that just means they're not making another 3-on-3 Dissidia game.
Tragic.
I really still think that within a year or two they'll be like, here's a new Dissidia game made with the same models, but it's actually what people fucking wanted.
That would be great. I don't know that I expect it, but it would be great.
It'd be great if they just go, it's Dissidia NT's models. We've added 10 more characters. It's a 1v1 game that's an RPG.
We put in Saban because we decided to stop being stupid.
Even if they don't add a single character and just make it a game like it used to be, that'd be enough.
Yeah, because then you'd be able to have multiple, like, different attacks. Because I forget what aspect of their attacks they only just have one.
I think their HP attack is just one now.
Yeah, like they reduced one of them out. And it was either the bravery attack or the HP attack. Also, bring back the limit breaks.
And they had all that nonsense with the spells were just bad.
Give me a story mode where I don't have to grind a player level to get... story mode tokens to be allowed to watch a 3-minute cutscene, or MMO style boss fights that are some of the worst I've played in any video game in my life.
I'm looking at the character list and that they really don't need to add everybody. There's like maybe under 10 characters that I would really like, but this is a pretty stacked list.
Here we go.
They went some strange directions in NT where instead of adding Gabranth immediately from 12, they brought in Vayne and did stuff like that, where they're like, "No, we're putting in this guy first."
Okay, Tifa made it eventually. Okay,
yeah, she did. One of her voice lines is "Dilly dally shilly shally."
Oh, good.
You can use that as a taunt.
I'm just glad Jack's here. He's cool.
Saban's not in. The whole roster is a wash.
They added Locke though.
Locke's cool. Saban's not in. The whole thing's a wash.
You know, I'll be like that too with Orin.
Yeah, or like,
I can't use his limit break where he hits you with the sword and you go to space.
Cypher'd also be cool.
Did Laguna ever end up in
Emmett Selch?
Yes.
I feel like Laguna ended up in NT, but I'm not. It wasn't the same.
He didn't make it in.
No, he's one of the ones we didn't get that was in the data mine. Because they data mined shit like a year plus, and it had every single character they revealed for the next like 2 years. And they still had more in there, but we never got to them.
Wow.
Yeah, we didn't get. I don't think we got Zach either.
Yeah, he was also one of them. Oh, this is. It's unfortunate because some people, like, even a week ago started a thread saying, so Laguna's next, right?
Laguna a lot.
He gets owned.
So do I.
Nothing
his
in that game
in,
would make.
In just Duodecim made it so he couldn't appear in Birth by Sleep.
What?
Because they're originally going to have him a part of the arena world in Birth by Sleep, but they're like, no, he's already in Duodecim. We can't do it in multiple games, I guess.
That's dumb.
That's brain spiders right there. We're going to move on from the Dissidia NT news. I'm stealing another one of Phil's news bits. Sony is just ducking out of PAX East and GDC.
Oh, I saw that Facebook also dropped.
Yes. There have been companies ducking out of a number of conferences, and it's all because of...
The big sickie.
This video might get demonetized because I said that word once. That's a thing, by the way.
What?
Uh-huh. So
what
if you guys...
What the fuck is wrong with YouTube?
Yeah, it's YouTube. I have that 100%.
If you guys could avoid from saying it again in the hopes that me saying it once won't trigger it.
That's insane.
That's spreading it.
Yeah.
Spreading knowledge about
the big sickie. We will hence call it the banana bug.
How about Bud Light itis?
There we go. Bud Light with
true,
lime.
Bud Light's kind of bad.
I have a better Bud Light with lime.
But that's unfortunate because Sony announced like last week that they were doing their PAX stuff, which is yet again where they announced The Last of Us 2 would do a thing and then delayed it immediately.
I mean, I think it's really, really good that they did this, and I think every company should do this because your marketing campaign is not worth endangering even a single employee.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had a question for you since you're usually good with this kind of perspective thing.
Sure.
I've seen a lot of people worried about the fact that Sony is ducking to multiple things. Are they going to delay the PS5?
There's no news of them delaying the PS5. Honestly, all of this hype for the next gen consoles has made me engaging with people who aren't used to this ride very weird. The other day in the Gigaboots Discord, somebody asked me if I was disappointed that the manufacturing price of the PS5 was $450. And I'm like, no, why would I? What? What is the question? I'm so confused.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I think they were expecting the manufacturing cost to be higher. They think this represented some sort of spec cut. But no, all this lines up. And we still don't know if, you know, Sony's going to charge $500 or $400. I don't think there's a delay. I don't think there's any reason to believe there's a delay. All the information that's come out so far says this hasn't had a large enough impact to cause major problems for products launching at the end of this year. That's what everything so far has been. It could get worse, and that could happen.
Here's what you do. The day they announce they're going to reveal the PS5, you have that stream in your ears as you're driving to GameStop to put a full deposit down on the PS5.
Correct move. Yes. I've said it before on Big Think. I need to say it again. There has not been a larger chance of console shortages in, what, almost 2 decades. Than this situation right here, right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if you care immensely, get a fucking pre-order in. By the way, pre-orders are like $50 on consoles, so you know.
Have that ready.
Yeah,
I'm just laughing at Bob's plan where he'll just have it on tap on something else and call them and go, it's time.
They were like, I should have known. I should have known his $50 pre-order on Zelda 2.
Zelda Breath of the Wild 2
was in fact a stealth fucking That's pretty good.
This motherfucker did that. That other guy's using GameStop as a bank. I don't know what I'm going to do.
The CEO of this corporation is just having trouble figuring out what they even do as a business.
GameStop banks are opening.
They're like, fuck it. We tried smartphones. Let's open a bank. People seem to think we're that anyways.
Here's my paycheck. We can give you $250. But my paycheck's for $400. You can put $250 into your account.
You try to cash a check at a GameStop bank and they offer you the trade-in value? What the fuck?
This is dark.
This is the darkest.
You have a PowerUps reward bank card. We'll give you 10% more of your money.
That's still only 80%. Jesus Christ. So we had the Animal Crossing New Horizons Direct. That was pretty hype.
I didn't write like a bunch of detailed notes on it, but I did watch through the whole thing because I didn't know how interested everyone here was.
I think some of it's pretty interesting as somebody who hasn't played an Animal Crossing since the DS game, mm-hmm. because Animal Crossings are time sinks and oh my god, I don't have time.
I haven't played any of them, which made it hard to parse all of the new stuff, except for some of the end game stuff where they showed like, you're terraforming this place.
Yeah, the terraforming is completely new and really looks revolutionary. You're able to like lower ledges and build rivers and things like that to terraform the island to make it exactly what you want. You can add stairs. It's really cool. They have a
like I saw them make a waterfall and stuff and I went, that's gotta be new. That looks incredible.
Yeah, no, it's really, really cool. There's a lot of new neat features in this Animal Crossing Direct, too many for me to point out exactly. But
you know what else is new, and it's completely insane that it's new?
What?
You can be black.
Oh, is that new? One second.
Tosh, could you not be black in Animal Crossing before now?
Nope.
She shakes her head. New, yeah, weird.
The 3DS one let you tan until you were dark, I think, but you had to do that after the fact.
Man, tanning is only one step away from, we have this ink bath you can take.
Justin Trudeau's like, oh, that's my favorite Animal Crossing.
What was it? They showed off a lot of cool stuff, like, you know, tea houses, cafes, onsens. Tosh was pretty hype about it. She's like, my island's gonna be full of tea houses, cafes, and onsens. And I pointed out one of the new features is deadly fucking wildlife, so I was like, and spiders. They have spiders and scorpions, Bob. Ugh. They can sting you really bad.
I didn't watch it, so I just saw Dan tweeting about wildlife mauling a villager, so I was just imagining like Bob the Animal Crossing cat, not actual Bob, just with a scorpion on his face screaming.
You like literally they show a fucking scorpion sting a villager and his eye swells up.
Ugh. Oh, like that's always been possible. They could get attacked by bees before.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they have wasps in this.
Yeah, they showed off.
And then
wasps
you have to like go and buy medicine.
Uh-huh. You have to go buy medicine.
Spiders, all these horrible things are new, but there were always bees.
God. Yeah, no. It's very Australian.
I feel like Tom Nook's vacation package is dangerous.
Tom Nook's like, here's my vacation package. For 1 million bells, you get to go home.
Yes, exactly. The whole tangent of it, he's like, you can earn Nook miles and maybe you'll escape the island alive. And I'm like, what is this? This is Animal Crossing? Are you sure?
Big fan of all the people making Monokuma edits of Tom Nook today. Of him standing in front of the microphone, which has been happening all day.
That's pretty good. Man. Yeah.
But I like all of the Isabel's back and heavily drinking.
Oh, yeah. I saw you got to design your own coffee cup.
Yeah. Like, you get to design a lot of stuff. You can scan QR codes from the 3DS game and I think the Wii. No. It was the 2DS.
The Wii U board game?
No, I don't think it's from the Wii U board game. One second, let me check.
Okay, because they had the Amiibo card support, which I remember the cards were used for that
Yeah, I was kind of shocked that it supported normal amiibos and amiibo cards. And weirdly enough, they sound like they're going to build in more support for different amiibos down the road, because right now the DJKK card doesn't do anything. They showed that in the direct. It doesn't do anything.
Yeah, like you scan them and it brings them as villagers. So they'll, like, you know, if you have an amiibo, you can have that person join your island.
Yeah, it was a very cool direct. Very interesting. The game terrifies me. I don't have free time.
There's the stuff about how accounts work, where only one system gets one island, but every account can be on that island.
Yes. And you can.
Yeah, that's so dumb.
And in the future, they'll work in the crazy cloud technology to let you back up your island and restore it once ever if your system's destroyed or lost.
God,
it's
Nintendo.
Not even like a. It, yeah, they're like, we don't support cloud saves. However, you can contact us later, sometime post-launch, if your shit gets broken. We'll use our servers to bring back your progress.
Animal Crossing on the GameCube let you have more than one town. All you had to do was buy another memory card.
Yeah, which at least there was the option.
Yeah, Nintendo's fucking bullshit of, no, we will tell you how you will play our game and we have a gun. Shit really needs to stop.
What are you talking about? It's really great when Splatoon only has two levels available and they change every 20 minutes.
The Splatoon 1 launch might have been the most upset I've ever been at any Nintendo game.
Mm-hmm.
Where I went, you shipped a game with, like, no content. People are like, no, it does exist. They're just bringing it out at their own pace because they, you know, they're trying to keep things fresh and they know what people want to play because they know how to do it. And they'll pick when you're playing it. I'm like, fuck you. There's a fifth of a game in here.
Yeah, no, it's very frustrating.
Nintendo fans are like people who have an abusive parent who also has compulsive disorder. So it's like, mommy making me touch every doorknob in the house 5 times before I get to eat isn't abusive. It makes sure my food is safe.
It does.
Oh, no. KZ's one of them.
Protects it from the door goblins.
KZ, tell me what the fuck Brian Hanford said.
Oh, okay. So Brian Hanford, if you don't know, is the actor for V and DMC5. And he made a tweet that's like, can't wait for the next hashtag Capcom versus game. Got some exciting stuff coming. And then everyone went, what the fuck did you just say? and it got like thousands of retweets, hundreds upon hundreds of replies, like a day and a half later. He's like, guys, I was just talking about, as a fan of Capcom games and stuff, I think that it would be really exciting. I'm not confirming anything. I know nothing. The sniper's laser is on my skull right now, man.
So, long enough later that he didn't go, oh shit, people are taking this the wrong way. He very obviously got a phone call.
It was a situation where he waited long enough that it had lived long enough that he couldn't delete it. Because if he deleted it, it'd make it worse. So they're like, fuck it, you better play this shit off right now.
No, I'm sure he was just away from his Twitter for 12 hours and didn't notice his phone was exploding.
Well, yeah, he didn't notice it exploding because it exploded only once and it was gone. He tweeted that and it literally exploded.
Empire of Sin, a game Phil has forgotten exists, has been delayed to fall of 2020.
What is Empire of Sin?
Yeah, I don't remember.
They showed it in Nintendo's E3 last year. It was like a gangster-looking, like, strategy game that they showed almost no gameplay for, and they kind of just had a... They had like a song playing in the background. It was like 15 seconds long. It was like it's a Paradox Interactive game.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I just saw that there. This was one of the first things I put down for the week. But gotcha. I just thought it was funny because I'm like, who?
Yeah, I'm struggling.
Yep. Nintendo, they're releasing a coral pink Switch Lite in March. Still no Nintendo Direct, man.
Yeah, well, we hear about a new pink Switch. Some people care immensely. Yeah.
So
the nice color
is Nintendo just waiting until the PS5's announced to come out and be like, hey, the Switch is now $50 less, and we have a Switch Maximum beating the PS5 to the market by 4 months.
Switch Maximum?
Yes.
I like it. It sounds like maybe, a King of Fighter game.
Yeah, it does.
It's pointless to try and know Nintendo. They're fucking... They have 18 fucking barriers of psychic protection on them.
I mean, okay, so there's... Here's the problem. There are two people who talk about what Nintendo should or will do, okay? There are two groups of people, two types of people. One of them is like, hey, Nintendo's going to get out of the hardware market. They're just going to make games. That's way more profitable for them. They're analysts, and they're crazy. The other group is the group staring at Nintendo's feet in a bucket of fire, being like, hey, dude, you should probably take your feet out of that bucket. And Nintendo's like, make me.
No, so, Nintendo's more like, but then I'll be cold. And, but they're wearing a sweater.
Yes, and sweating. This is accurate. KZ, can you tell me about any other policies from head-ass Japanese corporations that need to have their Western headquarters maybe inform them they look ridiculous?
If I was to think about one of the video game companies in Japan I hate the most by this point, it's probably Atlus, because they're incredibly incompetent. It takes them forever to put out games. Localizations take forever because they're not cooperating with the Western branch. And they do shit like this. They have streaming guidelines for Persona 5 Scramble, mm-hmm. which is the Persona 5 Musou sequel. And I have them here.
Just go down the list, baby. They're all gold, and by gold I mean shit.
I cannot believe they're doing it again. I cannot believe they're doing it again.
I boot up Kingdom Hearts 3 Remind, and I still see the before you stream triangle button, and I'm like, these guys look like clowns, and Atlus is like, hold my drink.
Yeah, I'm trying to find one.
It's
okay.
So fucking bad.
Uploading screenshots or videos requires you to use the console's own capture and share functions. Atlus will not allow screenshots or videos captured via personal capture cards. Only upload videos to sites supported by the sharing features of Switch and PS4. No other websites may be used. If you are showing events or story scenes, you must clearly mention that there are spoilers. Footage or screenshots should also show all of our copyright and company names, all rights reserved. Do not use gameplay footage for any other purposes other than showing the gameplay. Do not upload the background music, music data, or use gameplay footage for the main purpose of listening to the music, which is always the cute one. Uploading gameplay to sites that require subscription services or payment to browse is counted as using it for monetary purposes, so don't do that. Do not use the gameplay footage to slander other people.
That includes us. No making fun of our bad game.
If Atlus requests you to remove the video, remove the video.
That's the best
videos
part.
That Atlus deem are unacceptable will be deleted or taken off from viewing. That's... Queries into this matter may or may not be answered by Atlus.
Oh, how great. They issue a list of commands, and when people want fucking questions answered, need details, they're like, fuck you, we don't owe you anything.
If the streaming or uploading of gameplay leads to a monetary loss, Atlus does not hold any responsibility, nor will they pay any monetary compensation. And players are not allowed to share anything from the game's endgame or anything afterward. And that is everything. I fucking hate this company so fucking much.
How are they so dumb?
I did a Let's Play of Persona 5, and they had similarly insane things, but it wasn't as detailed as this, where they're like, fucking, we will come to you and tell you to delete this. But they had stuff like, don't stream past 7-7. That's the in-game date in Persona 5. And they said, you do so at the risk of copyright takedowns and channel takedowns. And I'm like, that's a fourth through your game. and they received such shit that they extended it further to like 2/3 through the game.
Yeah.
But past the Japanese release, they didn't enforce any of it. I ended up putting up the whole thing. People streamed through the whole thing. They didn't actually enforce it, but it was absolutely disgusting. This is an even worse version of that. What are they fucking doing?
I don't know.
What are they fucking doing?
Atlas, it is so obvious at this point that the people in charge of Atlas are just... They have the Nintendo brain disease, but like an even more accelerated form.
It is so much worse than any other company I've ever seen.
It's so strange. Like their games typically try and tackle very modern issues, and yet somehow the management is completely
are insane.
Not. Yeah. Just, they have no idea what the internet even is.
Remember when Sega bought Atlas and everybody was like, I hope Sega doesn't, you know,
interfere.
Do anything to Atlas. Now I hope Sega goes down to Atlas with a fucking bat.
I've been wanting them to do that since Persona 5 came out, and it was during the English release on launch day that they released that shit. Because I started a Let's Play of it. I put out like the first video of it. I went to sleep. I woke up. People were like, hey, you should be careful. They're going to take down your shit. I'm like, what are you talking about? What company would be this insane? They do not deserve success when they do stuff like this.
Negoshi, the Yakuza man, is on the board of directors for Atlas. He needs to be like, let's talk about how the share button revived my franchise in the West, as he has a bat in both his hands.
Yeah, no, it's fucking nuts. I mean,
that company needs so much restructuring in what they're doing, where it's like, your games you make are really good. I really enjoy their games a lot. However, everything around it is so repulsive.
Yeah, people complain about a one-month delay on Granblue, and freaking these things get 6-month delays or worse.
At best, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, this is so, so, so much worse than... Like, oh, it's coming out a month later. And so many smaller companies localize much faster. It's like I would go in and, you know, you get Atlas of Japan to work directly with Atlas West. So they are constantly getting material so you can aim for worldwide launches. And let people record your games because it's not 1995.
When I booted up Katana Kami, it had this giant warning text of like, do not stream this ever. And I freaked out. I posted on Twitter about it. Then Spike Chunsoft was like, I'm sorry, that wasn't supposed to be there. That was just to warn people before the launch of the game. I was like, oh.
Spike Chunsoft did do something similar. They had me worried when Danganronpa V3 came out. Where they were like, don't post past this chapter. And then people were like, are you really fucking doing that Persona 5 shit? And I think maybe 12 hours passed and they went, nah, dude, post whatever you want. Just warn people for spoilers in the description if you want. And I went, I can accept that. I can accept if you could maybe warn people about spoilers when it's like a murder mystery game. But this shit is ridiculous. And as someone directly affected by this, I do not like that shit at all.
Negoshi just needs to go down there. He needs to tap it down on his D-pad so he turns yellow and pulls out the bat. It says Slugger up in the corner.
It just makes me wish that their games were bad so I could write them off as a company I don't have to care about. But unfortunately, they make great shit, which makes me upset.
We gotta move on. This shit sucks. So... one of the most anticipated games of 2020 has finally resurfaced. I'm so glad that we have this news. KZ, lay it on him.
Motherfucking Cooking Mama Cook Star has returned. Its trailer leaked. It's coming March 2020. I quote retweeted the announcement going, hell yeah, it's back. And at least 60% of the people responding thought I was a Cooking Mama fan. 40% were losing their mind over the blockchain.
Yep.
Yeah.
Some people didn't know. And I'm like, guys, I ain't here to cook. I'm here for fucking blockchain, boys.
I'm here to hash out numbers. Let's do this.
I could be excited for both.
Also, the fact that the website does not work, what?
Yes, it doesn't work. The website at the end of that trailer does not work. It goes to a blank page. I checked it right now while you were talking to be sure that they just didn't have it. They just were going to put it up later. It does not exist. I don't think this is going to launch in March 2020.
This shit's fucking clown shoes.
I know, but it's a wholesome, bad video game news thing.
The company behind this seems to only make literal shovelware. They make Nintendo shovelware. You know, the shit you go to a Big Lots and find in a box.
Fucking Big Lots.
Here's a list of their four most recent games.
Okay.
Bass Pro Shops, The Strike Championship Edition for the Nintendo Switch with the fishing rod.
Wow.
They fixed the netcode on that one.
Party Arcade. Crazy Mini Golf 2. This also came out on the Wii.
Ooh.
Jesus.
And Junior League Sports.
This is not very promising, is what I'm getting.
Yeah, how'd these guys get the right to make a Pokemon game? What happened?
I don't know.
Maybe Babysitting Mama bombed more than we thought.
I would hope so. That's terrible. No one wants that.
Don't shake the baby while Jeff Gerstmann swings it. Like a lasso.
Yeah, that was pretty rough.
Yeah, I don't
Brett
see Schubeck the normal...
Brett crying in the background.
I don't see the normal developer's name anywhere on this trailer.
Is this real? Is this game real? Where have
I don't know.
Worked into a shoot for the past like 6 months over Cooking Mama.
They might have a new trailer drop just in time for the end of every quarter just to fuck with us. In May, we get a trailer for it coming out in June. In August, we get a trailer for it coming out in September.
Oh, that'd be really good.
I'd lose it. I'd go literally insane. Every trailer doesn't even look like the same game.
Oh, okay. No, I see the owners of Cooking Mama's name on this, but they also developed the games, and now there's Planet Entertainment LLC on the list and on this trailer, and I have no idea why they partnered up with these shysters.
Shysters.
It's what they are, KZ.
Whenever I hear people talking about strange company shit, it reminds me of that Gainax has like 85 versions of itself to avoid giving up IPs.
Yeah, the
13 and shit.
Fucking vessels of Gainax.
God, that's so disgusting.
It's solely the worst. To fuck Tomino.
Scala
and Gainax. Yeah.
No, it's for, or it's Anno.
Oh, yeah, Anno. Tomino's got them.
Yeah.
But yeah, KZ.
Tomino is bald. Anno looks like an otaku.
Yes, he does. KZ, tell me about Kingdom Hearts Rocky Road.
All right. Kingdom Hearts Dark Road, new info on it has been released. They've shown the logo. It's a part of Kingdom Hearts Union Cross, their current mobile game. It is going to be something you launch within it, and it's its own separate adventure, taking control of young Xehanort. And it plays in the same systems as Union Cross, but the gameplay seems more interesting than Union Cross's gameplay. It's card battling, but they have more card types, because the traditional types in Union Cross are red, blue, green, and that's it. There's like no real other thing going on with it.
So
here there's like multiple different card types that you use. What's that?
Is this not also a separate app? It's only inside this other game that's already out?
I have heard nothing about it being a separate app. In fact, they're also running a campaign where if you play Union Cross now, and you do a lot of stuff in it, you then get points, and then you turn in those points when you launch Dark Road to get cards, because of course the cards are also part of the gacha, because they're the same as the medals that you use in Union Cross itself, but they're in card form.
So they did all this to hype up a new game of some sort, and it wasn't, it was just an update for their already released mobile game. That's insane.
Yeah, but it's like a separate story, and they're calling it a separate experience because you launch within it. Similar to when they let you play the Tiger Electronic Kingdom Hearts games in it. They were in KH3. They put them in the mobile game for a bit, and doing enough of it gave you a keyblade in KH3. It's kind of like that, where you launch this, you experience its story and collect the cards and go through the battles. The battles, they're trying to say they're more fast paced and have more reflex stuff in them, which is interesting. Like, it has a completely different setup. Like, there's a turn order now, where seemingly you only do one thing at a time, where Union Cross, it's unload everything in your hand, and then the enemy goes. And your goal is to kill things in one turn. And this also has a party, because Ericus is also in a screenshot, and it says his turn's coming next, and he's also on the field. So this looks like it's potentially more engaging, but it's still like it's the Union Cross mobile thing, so I'm not jumping at the chance to jump on this. And if it's anything like Union Cross, I really hope they don't do this where they treat it like Atlus treats their games, where the English version is on a 10-month delay in terms of story.
Oof.
Which means the one thing that actually matters in terms of that mobile game is like the story shit. And people will just watch the translations on YouTube, and there's no real reason to play it. Because I wouldn't say the gameplay was really, really making you want to jump into it. But yeah, that's what's going on with that. I am grateful that it turns out it's a Union Cross thing, because it means the other two new teams they made have nothing to do with this. So there's two real-ass Kingdom Hearts games being made that aren't even being made by the KH3 team. So there's more interesting stuff coming out, even if this ends up being a dud.
Yeah.
But that's all of my news for this week.
Well, there's one bit of news Feel has that the three of us, me, Bob, and Feel, can all rally around. Talk about Team Ladybug's thing.
Ah, well, Team Ladybug, who made Toho Luna Knights, they made Pharaoh Rebirth Plus. They did the smaller promotional games for Konosuba and Shin Megami Tensei. They made the Jack Frost.
Jack Bros?
Yeah.
Yeah, the little tiny Metroidvania.
Yeah, that thing. I played that. It was neat.
Yeah.
Well, they've been making a Record of Lodoss war game for a while, and it is launching on Steam Early Access March 13th. It is just it is them making Symphony of the Night.
And we cannot stress this enough. The main character from a distance looks like it might be Alucard. Yeah. It is such smooth animation that is clearly modeled after it. It looks really solid. It looks like their most fluidly animated and stellar looking game yet.
Their games look great.
I can't believe the small Japanese developers tricking me into being interested in the Record of Lodoss War. I'm so upset.
Deedlit, I think, is her name, is the main character. She has Alucard's after images.
Oh.
Like when Alucard moves or jumps or backdashes and it like mm-hmm. leaves transparent after images, she just has it.
Yeah, she also wears a cape all the time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty
big anime
intense.
Shoulder pads.
It's something. But yeah, I think Bob's onto something. Maybe we do want to do Record of Lodoss War for Wii Boomers after that comes out.
Only the good.
Maybe
OVA.
I have no idea what that is.
That's yeah.
Now I have to get into Record of Lodoss Wars. This is a travesty.
It is. I agree. I'm there with you.
This would probably be just like they did with Toho Luna Knights, where it launches like a chapter at a time on Steam, which I guess I'm all right
probably with.
I'll
so you're saying we have to do an episode of Wii Boomers for every chapter? That's brutal.
Oh my god, I'm not saying that.
We just need to watch the 13 episode OVA.
Oh my god.
Because I hear the series is bad, but the OVA is good.
Probably. But I'd probably think it was wrong. Oh, by the way, since this is vaguely tied into this, apparently the new Sorceress Stabber Orphan just fucking sucks.
Yeah, I watched one episode of it and was like, oh man, this looks awful.
Great, I want to watch it.
No!
It's literally just the original series again, but with worse animation.
Yes! I knew it! I fucking knew it! That trailer made me think that's exactly what it was! I cannot believe I was right!
Because the reason, what turned me off of even trying it is somebody posted a comparison video on Twitter that's like, here's this giant traditionally animated dragon looking cool in the original series. Here it is in the new one. It's CG and looks like shit.
Yep, that's the way.
Yeah, I think that they're They're saying that's more accurate to the original novel.
Great.
But that doesn't, that's probably not the best
thing. No one cares.
Yeah. I'm like, it definitely is a different sequence of events for the first episode, but I wouldn't say it's better. And it's animation. Like, I would even compare it as being worse than JC Staff, who did the original, the original series is all done by JC Staff.
Uh-huh.
First half, like the whole, most of it's hand animated, like traditional cells. They did one episode testing out their new DigiPaint stuff. It looked like Excel Saga. That episode looks better than the first episode of this new series. This new series done by Studio Dean, who used to be decent. They did the old grown Kenshin's.
Oh, Dean doing it?
Dean, in recent years, has done nothing but bad-looking things. I can't even remember any of them, but it was all bad.
Jesus H. Christ.
All I know them for is they just picked up every visual novel they could find and then did it the best they could, which was a 6. At best, 2 at worst.
But hey, Funimation got the original voice actor for Orphan back. That's neat. They didn't get anyone else, though. So no Spike Spencer.
I'm gonna have to watch Sorceress Stabber Orphan. We'll do it for Wea Boomers. So.
Yeah, we've got a lot of
Wea Boomers things incoming, I feel. Yeah.
Now,
why the fuck is the word Hasbro in our news this week?
Hasbro is reviving Tiger Electronics to bring back their horrible handheld games. Some things are dead and in the past.
You gotta do it.
No. Listen, you corporate fucking parasites.
Oh, Jesus.
The Tiger Electronic hand game is something humanity tolerated because we did not yet have anything better. How dare you bring the Tiger Electronics game back in an era where we have phones?
It sounds to me like you suffered through a lot of Tiger Electronics.
I own several. They're really bad. It confounds me that they even thought they could bring them back. I'm not sure they'll sell it all, but I'm going to buy one. I'm sorry.
And here's a preview.
Are these exclusive to GameStop?
Wait, what?
I'm looking it up.
I have to make sure.
Oh, no. They have the Sonic 3 one that I had as a kid. It's Blue
Sphere.
They're bringing
Sonic 3, X-Men, Transformers, and The Little Mermaid.
Okay, good. I was worried. If they brought back Castlevania,
can they bring back all of them? Because what I need is this one. I need the Doug one that has the Doug button.
Why is there a
Doug?
Doug and faster.
Doug faster.
Those are the only two options. Live fast.
What's the Doug button do?
They aren't bringing it back because if you look at the ones they're reviving, they all have the exact same controls and mold.
Press Doug to Doug, KZ.
That's true.
They aren't bringing back any of this shit that requires a special mold or special buttons.
Oh.
Let me check out if Shinobi and Castlevania match up, because then they could bring those out at a later date.
Some of these, but I didn't. I don't have any of the ones they're releasing.
The only launch titles are The Little Mermaid, Transformers Generation 2, X-Men Project X, and Sonic 3.
I had the Sonic 3 one. It's not good. None of them are good. Okay, so my theory is correct. They could do a second wave of these that have... the mold's pretty similar, in fact, to the current wave. But they could do Shinobi and Castlevania as their own wave. God, fuck those things. They're so bad.
Yeah, they're the worst.
You're gonna click on IGN's nerd culture show or something, and one of them's gonna be like, we got sent the Tiger Electronics thing, and it's so nostalgic, and I'm going to slide in from off screen in the Akuma pose into one of them, and just the screen will go black.
Oh no, it's gonna be like the fucking George Lucas J.J. Abrams picture.
Yes.
This is the one I owned. I owned this Dragon Ball Z one.
Wow.
Where you start at the bottom and you go up and you get at the very top and all Frieza does is one kick.
What?
Oh my god.
Start slash attack.
I had Simon's Quest. I had the Street Fighter 2 one. And I think I had Double Dragon.
I don't think I ever saw the Street Fighter one. They're a tragedy. All of them. They're all so bad.
Yeah. I don't.
The fact they're bringing it back is staggering.
Anything for nostalgia.
Anything for a buck.
Talk about fighting game news.
Let's do it.
No, I want you to beat up Ninja. This is making me laugh.
Okay. Ninja posted the stupidest fucking thing I have ever read in my entire life.
Did you see the video that preceded it?
Let me get exactly... No, I did not watch the fucking... I love myself, Casey. Why would I do that?
Also, Bob, something tells me Mr. Feel never took a creative writing course.
I tried to take a creative writing course, but for some reason they put me into scrapbooking and then told me I couldn't change.
That's weird and funny and fitting, but creative writing courses, everyone's yick, man.
I figured, but... Where is what this fucking idiot wrote?
All right. This is the tone of, I figured,
is this his stupid fucking tweet? Yes. The phrase, not a, it's, okay.
Thank you.
The phrase, it's just a game, is such a weak mindset. You are okay with what happened, losing, imperfection of a craft. When you stop getting angry after losing, you've lost twice. There's always something to learn and always room for improvement. Never settle. I can't lift something that weighs 90 pounds. I'm a pencil-necked weakling. My name is Ninja. Football kickers should never miss. I don't know what sports are.
He wrote that?
Yeah, he wrote all that. It's real weird.
So
he called Jack and got 600 characters on Twitter for one tweet.
I saw the clip. I guess this clip leaked out in some way, or it came from his stream where he was talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess this might have come before his tweet itself, where he's just going, I hate these people say it's just a game. You don't do that when we're perfecting our craft. It's more than a video game. And then he made the statement of, if you just act like it's just a game when you're in this field, you're a shitty person. And I was like, oh no.
You know, I'm hearing a lot of condemnation without justification. I'm going to have to hear the counter argument from one of you two. Prove that Ninja's wrong.
You know what? True. He's an athlete. He cares about his craft.
Mm-hmm. He's an artist and we're all beneath him.
Correct. He had that great camo suit. The Game Awards.
Remember when Ninja said professional players who cheat shouldn't be banned because it's their livelihood and it doesn't matter if a normal person gets banned?
And then he reports people that beat him even though sometimes they're not cheating.
All of this is true as far as I know.
Well, there's your Ninja. There's your Ninja minute.
Great. Thank you. Now we can talk about fighting games.
Okay, so Street Fighter V put out a new update to fix its rollback. They did it in two segments for some reason. That was a bad idea because they put out an update that broke the mod that people made. And they didn't let everybody know, no, an actual fix is coming later today. I don't know why they put those out as two separate segments. That seemed like a very obvious pothole that you could avoid driving into. But it did do something, and reading people smarter than me breaking it down, it seems to be people with good connections will see an improved experience. People with middle of the road or bad connections will see no change, or it will be worse. Opinion seems to be that without massively overhauling the game, this is the best they can do.
Yep. Which means the people it should be helping the most with the rollback code, it is making things worse now.
Right.
But hey, at least it's fixed it for the people with better connections, I guess.
Because I've seen some people, like one fighting game streamer, Maximilian, talked about how he has consistently bad connections and he played the day before. And with the update, he said, this is the best this game has felt in years. So if you have a good connection, it should help you out. The game's no longer going to try and connect you to people from Argentina anymore.
I wonder if it'll feel better between us if we play it.
Yeah, because when we were doing a lobby just with the four of us, me and Bob occasionally would fight each other, and it lost its goddamn mind twice.
Yes, I even so meant funny. Like at the feel like, in case
you were the same fucking room.
It seemed okay. Like I didn't. It seemed better when I played it yesterday. But we also got more Dragon Ball FighterZ Season 3 news.
Are we getting a third
today.
Broly? How many Brolys we adding?
Please.
Kefla is a Broly. Kefla counts as a Broly.
That's true. I did get more than two.
It's a fusion. It's a fusion that includes a character that is just girl Broly.
I'm winning.
When she comes out, I might be playing at least sometimes my team 2.5 Brolys.
We just need Goku Broly fusion. When's that happening?
Yeah. Yeah. When is that happening?
Ask Xenoverse.
That thing. Shut up.
It's in that fusions game. That game isn't real.
And Dan's walking.
You're right.
Away.
It's a 3DS game.
The new comeback mechanic is called Limit Break Ultimate Power. When you're down to one character, your gauges turn gold and you get a boost in attack power. Everybody was pissing their pants. They were like, oh God, is this going to be fucking X Factor again? X Factor was so bad. Please not again. They said how much it is. It's a 10% damage buff, which is 1/5 of the lowest buff you could get in Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Wait, Marvel vs. Capcom gave you 50 to 80%? That's insane.
Yeah, did you not? It was based on characters. I think it gave Hulk 230% damage.
Oof. That game is real busted, isn't it?
That a lot of the winning plays was level 3 X Factor Dark Phoenix.
I heard about that. I had no idea it was directly linked to. Yeah, she just does like triple damage.
It was insane. It's a big reason people fucking hated because it was pure comeback mechanic. It was okay, little baby, you have one character and they have three. Now one combo does 80% life. They're adding in a real tutorial that was in a magazine. They're like, oh,
cool.
You know that tutorial Namco didn't let us make because they wanted this game out fast? We made it, and we're putting it in now.
Hey, it's right on time.
EX moves, which are, you know, they flash orange and they do an improved version of a special move, previously pretty useless because they took a whole bar, which could be a super, now they only cost half a bar.
That makes more sense. I was right.
I said this on the last time we talked about this. So I'm glad that I called that shot. Wasn't very hard. They changed how dragon rushes work, which is the throw, the equivalent of the throw, where now you're normally in a fighting game, you can't get thrown if you're in block stun. Because that would be too broken.
You're right.
Now it seems like you're able to be dragon rushed much faster because there was a lot of I jab with light. Okay, I block it. Then you immediately dragon rush and it works. I saw Goichi get dragon rushed like 12 times on that stream.
Oh no.
Which is more than he got dragon rushed in the last 18 tournaments he was in.
That is correct. That dude is a machine.
It was weird to see him ever not tech that. I'm sure that he'll have 18 chips installed in his brain, and the next time we see him, he'll never get caught by it again. But that this time he was caught off guard.
The amount of times I've seen different tournaments where Goichi is blocking and the enemy has not opened him up for 75 seconds is insane.
I'm not going to cover all the character changes. If you want a good channel that will break all this down, Roofelmonger on YouTube, that is Roofelmonger. He covers Dragon Ball FighterZ stuff religiously. Great channel. He has very great videos about how to learn how to get better at the game on a very digestible basis, even if you're bad at fighting games. So give him a check out. There is a couple bigger ones I want to point out, though. First, Android 21's level 3 now gives her all four absorbable moves.
Oh, good.
So if Great. She eats you, she gets all four slots.
This is wonderful news, isn't it, guys?
Yeah. No.
Ginyu now has a new level 3, because I guess because they figured him not having a real level 3 was probably a problem.
Mm-hmm.
One besides so, change.
Yeah, so now he has a new level 3 where each member of the Ginyu Force hits you, and then they pose and colored explosions happen behind them.
Yeah! I didn't know this. That's great.
Nappa also apparently has altered versions of both his supers, but they didn't show them on the stream. Get fucked.
They're like, it's different now. Oh, is it good? Bye.
I'm more excited for this than I am the original release of the game. Like, all the changes sound really good. I actually really want to get into fighters.
They also, I didn't put it in the notes here, but they explained the golden assists a little bit more. They're just explicitly designed to be the best assist, but they recover way slower.
Hmm.
So, I was like, Cooler's probably going to get a beam. Cooler got a beam. It's his golden assist, except it isn't just a beam. He throws out his beam, then teleports above you and hits you from above. So, and a lot of characters have things like that.
Right.
That's all the... Oh, and the patch comes out the 25th. So Season 3 starts the 25th. Kefla is out the 26th.
Huh.
If you bought the season pass. Otherwise, she's out the 28th if you're buying piecemeal to dodge those GT characters.
Is that you?
No, I can't wait 2 days.
You're like, I'll take baby Vegeta.
I want to play in once, even if they're bad. That's how it works with most of the fighting games I actually want to play. It's like, I want to be able to play each character. Even if I don't like them, I want to be able to play them.
Right.
We have the same brain goblin thing. I'm like, yeah, I don't want there to be a part in the menu I can't touch.
Yeah. No, that's... Mm.
Street Fighter V was hit me with that. I saw those like stages on the left side that are like the arenas. I was like,
yeah, same. Also, I thought one or two of them looked good, but you know, I probably shouldn't spend money on levels for a game like Street Fighter V, which has plenty of levels.
Yeah, it has more than enough.
Yeah, but that's gonna do it for news this week. I guess we need to talk about what's coming up in the next week. So we record these on the Thursdays prior to it going up. Which means, while you're hearing this in the future, Feel and KZ don't realize Voxandra arrived in town on Friday to do the live show.
Hello!
Oh, no.
So, for the next week or so, we'll be doing some content with Vox.
Neat!
Such as Mega Man X6 playthrough.
Oh, no! She finally got you!
I had an assumption that it was going to be shit you clearly don't want to play.
Oh, well, are you going to have to play Sonic Adventure 2 Battle?
I don't know that we'll have time for that, but we might have time for, say, a Gigaboots Eats so I get mine, you know? As long as Vox has to do a Gigaboots Eats experience, maybe
Vox, let me introduce you to my Taco Bell.
Vox, well, no!
Vox ate the calorie-free shit, so you can't even get her with that.
Oh, I can. Some of it's just absolutely repugnant compared to the stuff she ate. But, like, ranch. We're gonna go check out the Wendy's breakfast menu on Monday, Vox and I. So, look forward to those live tweets. And we're gonna be doing streams and some other stuff. And in general, we'll be hanging out with Vox while she's in town. Also, hey, that Mondo Cool went up last Friday at like 12:30 a.m. That's pretty cool. Glad you guys who don't pay can watch the new Mondo Cool. And for anyone who thinks I did that because KZ referenced it earlier in the podcast, no, I made the plan earlier this week. I wasn't going to release the same day as other content. But anyway, what are you up to in the next week, KZ?
So, starting on Monday, the day this comes out, I should, unless something catastrophic happens, I'll be starting my Kingdom Hearts Marathon livestream stuff. I'll be streaming every single day with the exceptions of Fridays and Sundays, slowly going through the series in release order, hanging out with people, having guests. Just, it's a fun way to consistently stream. I just finished prepping all of my content for YouTube. Which is, I'm going to do videos every other day. For the first couple weeks, it'll be Cold Steel alternating with the Fire Emblem DLC, which I did in like 6 videos. So you can see me slowly realize that this isn't the best, but you see me go. You can see me play it.
That's good.
You can see me play it, and we go through that. But yeah, content is set. I don't have to worry about recording anything at all during this marathon, which I'm relieved. Last time I did it, no content came out at all.
Yeah, it can be rough.
Like this wasn't worth having Bird draw me as the sexy sewer twink at all.
Oh, I was gonna have him draw something for something like this. I'm so glad.
Smart.
I was like, I'll just use me with big tits still. That's still got some mileage. But yeah, I've got like videos scheduled up till like the end of March, so I'm good to go.
Hey, Phil, what are you up to?
Well, in the past, by the time you hear that, I will have streamed Freedom Planet. Because apparently they entirely remade that game after I played it at launch.
They rewrote most of the weird corners on the plot.
Not the torture scene, though.
Not the torture scene. We gotta keep the torture scene. Yes, there's still a torture scene. I literally checked the moment I heard they rewrote most of the game. Because I was
in a moment where I'm like, fucking, who's texting me? Oh, it's Dan tagging me in Mondo Cool. You son of a bitch.
Oh, man, it's 12:30. Somebody put that up.
Nice.
So, I'll be checking that out. I don't know if that'll persist beyond the time you hear this. I kind of doubt it. But I guess if I hit my stream goal, which I'm $170 away from by the end of February, I will play Sonic Adventure 2 Battle probably on the 1st of March, which is a Sunday. I'll probably just sit down, play all of Sonic Adventure 2, whatever this version, the Steam version is that one. If I don't hit that that Sunday, I will be starting Super Danganronpa 2.
God.
Which is the official name of that game.
Okay, I was about to ask. I was like, is the Super really there? Right?
Well, in English, it's called Danganronpa 2, Goodbye Despair, but the Japanese title, I think, is Super Danganronpa 2.
Do they have, like, Monokuma or someone else go, Super Danganronpa 2, woohoo!
That would not surprise me if that was a thing in Japan.
It wouldn't surprise me, but this is also the series, Dan, that all the students are, like, you know, the best at a skill, so they're called the ultimate, but in Japan, and they're called super duper high school level job title.
Yeah.
yes, actually.
also Danganronpa 1 had a trailer that was just a Dynasty Warriors trailer, and then they put that in the game because we spent money on it. You're looking at it. and I don't mean in the sense that you can look at it in a menu. I mean it in the sense that the main character gets a fever and falls asleep and he dreams of the Dynasty Warriors trailer.
What in the world? Okay.
Yep. Bye.
You know, you keep pushing the audience away like that, they're not going to feel connected to you anymore. You need to reconnect Gigaboot's audience.
An oath to return, Podlord.
An oath to return next week.
Yes.
Yes! Thanks for listening to this episode of Big Think Dimension. This show, like our other podcasts, is only possible with the generous time our co-hosts have given to us and the equipment we've bought to make it higher quality and easier to produce. Please consider supporting our podcast series on our Gigaboots Podcast Patreon and look forward to more gamer premonitions and Big Think Dimension in the future.